Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to my show, The Universe of the Soul's Evolution. I'm the Reverend Blake Ruby, and I hope you had an enjoyable last week here in San Antonio, Texas. It's been cold. I think all around the country it's been cold, but I don't mind too much. In fact, I work outside in our enclosed patio, and I prefer to be outside, even if it is cold. It's kind of refreshing. My hands get a little bit cold, you know, when I have to type, use the keyboard on my computer. But otherwise, it's fresh air, you know, and I get to see the sun come up. I always prefer being outside rather than inside. And it got down in the 20s. But that's okay. I think that for Southwest Texas, or I should say Southern Texas, the winter is just about gone. It's towards the end of January, and I can't remember, I should make some notes, you know, to remember this, when the first signs of spring are. Here in San Antonio, spring usually comes around the end of January, the beginning of February. That's when the leaves start to bud on the trees and flowers also. But one thing that gave me a sign last week that we've seen the worst of the cold weather and warmer weather is around the corner is I was out there on the patio at about maybe 2 o'clock in the afternoon on yesterday. And a flying insect, kind of like a flying ant, came and landed on my laptop's keyboard. And I haven't seen any insects, flies, or anything for about 3 weeks since it's been cold. And that reminds me, I saw a big housefly also on the fence yesterday. And they don't usually show up. They're like birds, you know, that migrate to warmer areas when the weather gets cold. So I looked at my cell phone for the weather in the next 10 days, and I saw that it was warming up slowly, increasing to like a daily high of around 70-some degrees 10 days from now, increasing all the way. So I think, maybe with the exception of a few days here and there, that we've seen the worst of the wintertime here in San Antonio. And that's okay with me. It can be painful, to tell you the truth. I grew up in Canada, and it was snowy and cold for about 5 months of the year, usually from November through April. Actually, that's closer to 6 months. You could expect snow at any time during those months. And the weather would, temperature would get down in the 30s and below freezing. So I, as a former Canadian, have had my share of cold weather. I'm a frostbitten Canadian person. Not really frostbitten. I came close on multiple occasions living in Canada. I would walk to school a mile or two and then play with my friends when we get off school and play street hockey. And I remember the cold weather, and my hands sometimes were so cold, and I could barely feel my fingers, my feet too, my toes. Didn't get frostbitten, but almost did. Hot weather, on the other hand, is uncomfortable, but cold weather is painful, and I prefer hot weather. And here in San Antonio, it bakes in the summertime for a couple of months. We have temperatures over 100 degrees, sometimes consecutive days of over 100 degree temperature days. Anyway, changing the subject, I hope you're doing all right. We have a new administration. Last Monday, Martin Luther King Day, we had our new president, President Trump, take the oath of office, and now he is back in the driver's seat. And that's okay with me. I voted for Mr. Trump, and I think he's a good man. I don't have any complaints about what he's doing, although I might not agree with everything, but I do wish that he would get enough rest. I hope that he's getting enough rest because he's doing a lot. And when we get to heaven, I'll tell you something that I've learned. I'm always watching near-death experiences, listening to people who have gone to heaven for a while and come back. They're told that it's not their time. They meet deceased relatives. And one thing I've learned, I read a lot of books on heaven, to what to expect. And let me go into that a little bit now. But one thing, and that is for sure, that when we get there, that rest is a mandatory kind of thing. You have to have your rest there because there will be activity. It's like another existence, similar to here, very similar, but it's more real. You know what they say? Heaven is for real. When they say that, they are right. Heaven is for real. And so is hell, God's jail, but heaven. So let me tell you what to expect. And it's all in my book in the Amazon Kindle bookstore, The Great Brain and the Golden Soul. The great brain. The brain is to the physical body as the soul is to the spirit. They're very similar. Kind of like the computerized functionalities of the body and the spirit, if you know what I mean. Or let me rephrase that. The soul has access to universal knowledge. When we get over to the other side, the afterlife, and I'm telling you everything I've learned from other people here, so I know that you, like me, are co-creator God in the making, and you don't like to be told what to do. It's the same at work. We work because we have to make money, and we have our bosses, unless you're someone who's self-employed. But we don't like to be told what to do. I've noticed that, because we like to find out things our own way. But when we get to heaven, we will see about the same kind of thing we see here. It is more real. Everything is more intense. The colors are more intense. It's a world of light, my friends. Heaven is a world of light. That's why they say people go through a tunnel, and at the end of the tunnel, there's a light, and then all of a sudden, they go through a tunnel, and they find themselves into this beautiful land of light, if you will, of the spirit realm, the spirit world. And you know where the place of light here is in our solar system, because we are indigenous. Both our bodies, our physical bodies, and our spirits are indigenous to the solar systems we belong to. Because you know, there's so many sentient beings out there in the universe other than us. We cannot comprehend the size of the universe, my friends. It is so huge. All you have to do is look at some of the images from the Hubble Space Telescope and the James Webb Space Telescope and the Kepler Space Telescope, and you know that there are tons of galaxies out there, and each galaxy has hundreds of thousands of suns. You know, I don't want to boggle your mind with numbers that really don't help us to understand just how much. Hold on just a minute. Hold on.
Jackie, your phone. across the U.S.-Canadian border. You're up to
Well, my friends, that was my wife's alarm that went off. And so I had to give it to her. Now she's back in the room. And, oh, door. When we get to heaven, going back to that subject, there will be a remembering of what it was like because we came from there. We existed prior to being born. We just can't remember being born. Can you? I can't. Our spirits existed. We are spirits in the material world, my friends. Just like the song says, we are spirits in the material world. And I don't want to frighten anybody, but you know there's 40,000 people each day dying around the world. And just about that many being born, babies being born, too. And hold on just a minute. Hey, hon. Has anybody thought about putting that collar on? Right? Well, we got a problem changing the subject, my friends. Our young dog, he's a little over a year old now. He's taken upon himself to be the loudest barker in the neighborhood. And he's just outside the window here. I'm up in the bedroom. And we've already had a neighbor complain about his barking. He barked all day yesterday. He'll bark at anything. I think he just loves to hear his own voice. And so whether it's a bird or another dog in the neighborhood, way across the field, or a car, a loud car, or a jet up in the sky, he'll just bark, bark, bark away. So we bought a couple of collars, a vibrating collar and a shocking collar, which I think is a little bit inhumane, but we need to stop him barking for the sake of our neighbors, especially since we've had one neighbor complain, and next thing would be that they would go to the HOA. I ordered something today on Amazon, which is different. It's something that's a sonic noise. You press it and point it at the dog, and they can hear that noise, and that gets them to stop barking. But it's become a little bit concerning, especially when the neighbors are complaining. And I'm out there sometimes singing, so they have to deal with me singing and the dog barking. And Doug was telling me at the beginning of the show, you know, we all have kind of things we're going through, struggles, issues. Nothing's perfect all the time. And we just keep striving for perfection. And hopefully these things aren't too severe, too major, where we can, you know, keep on going and keep on keeping on. My sister Eleanor contacted me last week. I forget what day it was. I think it was after my last show last Saturday, and said that her daughter, Nikki, had died, and she was 47 years old. I'm 70, you know. I'm blessed. How about you? Are you blessed to live another day, be alive another day? Just like that song, I just want to celebrate another day of living, another day of life. And it's so true. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. And as I was saying before, 40,000 people a day are dying around the world. Not to scare anyone, but it's a wake-up call kind of like for us to know that, hey, you know, this is a school we're a part of. We're learning here in the University of the Universe. It's for our soul to evolve. and planets like this one that we're on have a very specific learning environment, and it's very difficult, too. And I've been through this before in other shows in the past. Life is meant to be hard so that we can learn. And we go through all kinds of things, like you could have a loved one die, or an accident, or, you know, break a bone, God forbid, you know. There's so many things that can happen in this world. And what do? We just have to deal with it and try to keep a good attitude and understand that we are spirits in the material world, and we came from heaven. You got to check out my book. It's free in the Amazon Kindle bookstore, The Gray Brain, The Golden Soul. I talk about it. It's chock-a-block full of spirituality, about 80 pages that will knock your socks off and blow your mind, so to speak, that I've learned from other people and put together during my years of when I was really engrossed with reading books on spiritual development. 8 years it took me to put that book together. And so now, let me just get back to what I was saying about heaven. When it's our time, it could be by an accident, and everything supposedly is predetermined. And yeah, that is hard to comprehend. That's really complicated. Hold on, please. One of our dogs needs to get out of the room. I'll be right back in a few seconds. Ah, my friends, distractions. When you live with dogs, you know, the benefits of having dogs outweigh the things that, I mean, living a life of solitude, living by yourself. I don't want to live by myself, you know. I did that before. It's really no fun. Oh, I enjoyed looking after people, taking care of people, giving them gifts, you know. That's just me. It's the way I feel now. Although I was flirting with the idea of just living with my wife and I, but my family here, you've heard me talk about it on previous shows, I think. I've got my stepdaughter and three grandchildren living with us. We bought a new house, and we're going to be moving into it in the near future. We've got an appointment on Monday to go over there and have a walkthrough. And then our closing is on the 12th of February. And it's going to be good to get out of this house because it's really too small for six people. Anyway, but there are distractions. For the most part, though, my radio shows are go pretty smoothly, and I don't have too many interruptions. Getting back to heaven, it's there in my book, you know, what happens. And if you're interested, you know, YouTube has lots of videos on the subject of near-death experiences that you can learn a whole bunch of information on what to expect, you know. We kind of think we're invincible, and then things happen. It's a gamble when you get on the highway. You never know. And then there's lots of other different ways to leave this realm, this planet, you know. This planet Earth, is not our home, okay? Did you know that? It's not our home. We come from the spirit world. We existed before we were born. And we were a spirit. And when we go back there, there will be a remembering. You'll see angels everywhere. We live with angels. Angels are servants to the Mother and Father God. You'll see very evolved souls, the patriarchs of the Bible, the disciples, all great people that lived throughout the centuries are there from all different cultures. There is no different religions in heaven. There's only one religion, if you even want to call it that, and that is worshiping the Mother and Father God and the Creator of the universe. We all should worship the Creator of the universe, because nothing would exist if it wasn't for the Creator of the universe. We wouldn't exist. Because once upon a time, long ago, billions of years ago even, the Supreme Creator of the universe, who is a spirit, just an awesome spirit, who, when they talk about, if you saw the Creator of the universe, you couldn't live. Your Mother and Father God, you could exist, continue to exist if you saw them, because they are like us. We are created in their image. Really, seriously, we are in their image. So they, at one time, were like us, going through their own soul's evolution on different planets throughout the universe until they reached that stage of perfection where they could become co-creator gods. We can't be the supreme creator, the great original creator who created the Big Bang, but we can be like him, her, because the creator is both male and female. And if you're interested, check out in YouTube, type in Creator of the Universe, NDE, for near-death experience, and learn. I'm going to take a drink. Learn about the Creator of the Universe. Because the plan was that we would have a physical, material universe created one solar system at a time. And then after so many solar systems are formed, then they create a galaxy, or they are called a galaxy. And then a new galaxy starts to form, one solar system after another. And so you have all these different solar systems, different suns, different types of suns, sizes, shapes, colors. And therefore you have species that are indigenous to that solar system, sentient beings, because the third force of the universe is the force that created all the sentient life, all the other sentient life that's out there in the universe besides us human beings here in our solar system. And there are other different types of human beings. That is probably one of the, not the predominant, but one of the more dominant species throughout the universe. And we come in all shapes and sizes, small, tall, 3 feet tall, 3 foot tall, 9 feet tall, some that are transgender, hermaphrodite, in other words, both male and female, extremely, extremely intelligent beings, you know. One in particular who is the guardian, who are the guardians of our planet and other planets throughout our galaxy, because they are one of the three most evolved technologically and spiritually. And then you have the Greys, the Arcturians, the Palladians, humanoid for the most part, you know, two arms, two legs, head, different color and shapes of eyes. That's the third force of the universe, created all that sentient life. The first force created the suns and the planets, the moons. The second force, all the plant and animal life. The fourth force is that little spark that you have in your soul. It's what lights up your soul. It's a spark from the creator of the universe. Kind of like a light bulb, if you will. You're going to shine with the light when you cross over to the other side. You'll see that everyone shines with a different type of intensity depending on their soul's evolution. But that fourth force is an infinitesimal piece, that spark of the divine that we have, a little piece of God's light. And that light lights up our soul and our spirit. And those are the four forces of the universe, my friends, that the Supreme Creator commanded all those years ago when the Big Bang was initiated in accordance with the Creator's will. The Creator imagined everything that would happen. He played it all out in his, I say he, she, played it all out in his, her mind. Everything that was going to be, everything that would be and will be, and everything down to the smallest pebble of a grain of sand, all the way to all the different life, varieties of life, and all the plant and animal life, all those four forces were imagined. Then by the power of the Creator's will, there was a huge explosion and the universe began forming itself, one solar system after another. And so the Creator is at the center of the universe, approximately 15.7 billion light years from where we are. And we are way over in a distant spiral arm of the Milky Way galaxy. And beyond us, there are other galaxies. The universe is constantly expanding, my friends. The borders of infinite space are expanding as we talk. Isn't that amazing to think about it? Not only are our souls eternal, but space, that space that we look up at in the evening, is expanding. There are edges of space we can't see. That is expanding into what? I don't know. Nothingness, I guess you could say. But that's the nature of the universe. It is infinite. It is infinite. And we are eternal, which is hard to really understand. But it is reality. It's not a dream. It's not fantasy. We are spirits in the material world, and our physical bodies do not last forever, so we have to take advantage of every moment. Understand that we are blessed to have life here. Life is a very sacred and precious thing, and the value of life is increasing. We see that more and more. It has come a long way. Even back in the 60s, think about it, how people were mistreating each other. We had the Equal Rights Act, the riots of the 60s, even 100 years after the freedom of slavery, people weren't treating each other properly. You know, there was a lot of discrimination. And so it is with a civilization's journey through evolution, that they begin at a certain level and then they improve and they enhance their spirituality. Evolution, one of the characteristics of evolution, and it is a slow process, is that the value of life is at a certain level when it begins and then it increases. I've seen that personally, firsthand, living in foreign countries, working for the army. The value of life in some of these third world countries is a lot less than here in the United States. Just take a walk where cars are being driven, like in a country like Venezuela when I was there from 2001 to 2004, or even Korea. I was there from 87 to 89, or even Germany. Germany, not so much, but some of these countries where you suddenly realize when you're there that pedestrians really don't have the right of way like they have here in the United States. And you try to cross the street, more than likely you're going to get hit, unless you are very cautious, you know, and don't depend on the other person to brake for you, you know. So it's defensive. You have to adapt to a defensive attitude and an offensive attitude, especially while driving. My point is that the value of life is a lot less in some countries, like what's going on in the Gaza Strip in Ukraine. The value of life there is a lot less than here in the United States and other more civilized, if you will, countries around the world, like England, Canada, Australia, and then some of the, as I mentioned, third world countries. You know what they are about down in South America. they're not at the same stage of evolution that we are. And even in the Middle East, they're 50 years or more behind, in a sense, when you talk about evolution, the way they treat women over there. You know, they treat them like animals in some places. That's hard to believe, isn't it? When you consider that women are the mothers of our children, the mothers of the children over there. And it's not that they're lacking in some of the mental faculties. It's just evolution. It's a slow process, a gradual realization. Hey, you know, we were doing things the wrong way. Now we got to start doing things the right way. That makes sense. That doesn't make sense. It's rationale and logic. As I mentioned, women are the mothers of our children. So why would a man, say, in the Middle East, require that a woman have to wear something to cover her face when she bore that child in her womb and fed that child, nurtured it, changed its diapers over the years, only for that person to turn around and treat her sometimes worse than an animal? Just doesn't make any sense. But like I said, that's evolution. It's a slow process. Here in the United States, we're above everyone else, I think. We're leading the way because we have that diversity. We have people from all over the world that want to live here. That's why we're having problems with our borders right now, because people want to come here and live that dream of having plenty, you know, or more money, having a house, having a family, having a job, making enough money, making ends meet, living the rest of their days here in better quality of life than where they were before, where they came from. But things have gotten a little bit out of control. Really, I think when you consider when America had a balanced budget, it was before 9/11. The people that orchestrated 9/11 really achieved their objective, their purpose. They sent our country into a tailspin financially because President Clinton had balanced the budget in the 90s. President Bush took over from Clinton. He hadn't really done much before 9/11 happened. And then, you know, by destroying the towers, the World Trade Center, hitting at the heart of the financial institution of the world, not only the United States, but the world, this, like I said, sent us in a tailspin, and now we're trillions of dollars in debt. I guess we can't retaliate. There's nobody to retaliate at right now, but know that we were attacked, and we are where we're at right now because of that attack, in my opinion. But there's not much to do about it now other than keeping on, like I mentioned before. I'm going to take another drink. Each day is an opportunity to develop ourselves spiritually and just show a little bit of love, you know, around the world. Those random acts of kindness that Morgan Freeman talked about in Bruce Almighty and Even Almighty, I'm sure you've seen those movies. Random acts of kindness can change the world and make it into a better place. And listening to my show and other shows on BBS Radio and watching videos on YouTube and going to church and talking with people about life and life after death and the universe and all those extraterrestrials that are out there just waiting for us to join them as soon as we can stop our wars, you know. If you were an ET and you were a super advanced civilization and you were living in peace and harmony and you had a lot of things figured out and your soul was very evolved and you were feeling all right in your soul, and you were living on a planet of a higher category of evolution, would you want to land on a planet where the species was violent and they could shoot at you with their weaponry, although I think most of them probably have the capability to defend themselves, but also the capability to destroy our planet in an instant if they wanted to, which is why these movies that Hollywood creates are just absolutely ludicrous, ridiculous. And they make the aliens out to be the bad guy. And that's fantasy for you. It's not reality, my friends. Let me give you another example of fantasy and reality. Fantasy is like an action movie on TV about some of these stars that we keep seeing over and over again that make all the money, tons of money, and I don't blame them for that. I probably would, too, if I could, if I had their gift. These action movies where they're shooting at each other and blowing things up and getting into fights and that kind of thing. But then when an active shooter incident happens and several people or more that are killed, then we know the difference between reality and fantasy. And a lot of us, including me, live in a world of fantasy. We'll spend a lot of time behind watching the television, you know, watching the television. I do. I'm guilty of that. At one time, I did. But in our house, when you live with people, you have to accept things for the way they are. My point was that reality is what's out there. And these extraterrestrial civilizations don't want to make contact with the species. It was very violent. And just like in the day the world stood still, the day the Earth stood still, these extraterrestrials land in the backyard of the White House or somewhere in that area, maybe on the Mall, the Washington Mall, and they're surrounded by tanks and artillery pieces and police and National Guardsmen have their weapons drawn. You know, all it takes is an itchy finger, trigger finger, to ruin things, you know. You get my point? We're a violent species, and they know that. So that's why they haven't shown up in the open and introduced themselves to us. You know what I mean? I wish they would. And we have so much evidence, so many instances where people have had contact with extraterrestrials, kind of like it's not talked about by the mainstream media. And the governments around the world, including the United States, are hiding it from us because they say we can't handle the truth. Can you handle the truth, my friends? I can handle the truth. I would love to meet any one of those, let me see, there's probably 27,000 sentient beings in the Intergalactic Federation of Sovereign Planets. I would love to meet each one of them. Imagine a book. If I gave you a book that described 27,000 different species, sentient beings, what they look like, characteristics, all about them, how they reproduce, how they live on their planet, what kind of government do they have, do they have a monetary system? What kind of technology do they have? Do they have spacecraft that are capable of going beyond the speed of light, going interdimensional? Do they have outposts around the universe? Are they that advanced? Maybe colonies that they have formed. Imagine a book that would have all that information, 27,000 different species in the Intergalactic Federation of Sovereign Planets, not to mention all the other species that are out there that haven't become members of the intergalactic community yet. And hold on just a minute. Goldie wants to come in. She's scratching on the door. I've been ignoring her, but she just went out a while ago. Well, you have to make your mind up. You coming in or not? I'm not going to leave the door open. Come on. Oh, she just sat there. Distractions. One has to keep a positive mind, though. You know, that's the trick. That's the goal, the objective is to keep a positive outlook, even in the face of daunting odds. People want to try to take away your joy and your peace of mind and your quiet. It's something that we can do. We can control it because there's no one else that's going to control it. And I think I'm doing pretty good, considering. I really enjoy my show because it gives me a chance to talk for 55 minutes. I'm taking a drink. And it is a great form of public speaking practice. A great way to enhance my public speaking skills. Because in Toastmasters, I'm a member of three clubs. I'm a division director. I have 19 clubs that I'm responsible for. I don't really have a lot of time to do as good of a job as I could, but I'm doing what I can because I'm working also full-time. And I'm doing my best. And it is always good to improve your spirituality, and I think I'm doing that. I enjoy surfing through YouTube, all the different videos that pop up. There's so much interesting stuff out there to learn other people and what they're doing all around the world from different cultures, you know. I was watching this woman. She calls her show Survive Alone, I think it is. And she's living in some jungle, maybe in Vietnam or there in Asia, and she's living off the land, a very attractive young Asian woman, maybe about 25, 30 years old, and she's very strong, and catching these fish, and trapping caiman, and capturing wild hogs, and keeping them in a cage, and setting out traps to trap small animals like wild turkeys or other small animals that she can use to eat. And she cooks up her fish over a fire. She's got a really nice shelter. It's really interesting. I find that interesting. I'm always tuning into the Outdoor Boys. Luke, the guy, he always has millions of viewers. And I know he gets paid big money by YouTube. You get over a million views, supposedly, and they'll give you money. I'm going to take another drink. So I want to go back to heaven and talk about what to expect. And this is beneficial for me and hopefully beneficial for you, even though, like I said, you're a co-creator God in the making. And I know you like to do things for yourself and you don't like people to tell you what to do. But if you're a learner like me, then you recognize that we need each other. I need to learn from you. You need to learn from me. We need to share. It should be a sharing of ideas. So this is what I've learned, what happens when we die. Our spirit in our bodies will come out. But before it does, depending on your situation, especially, let's say you're in a hospice and you've got a terminal illness or for some other reason. You know, what's really interesting about that, from what I've read, I read a book about a couple of hospices in Texas. I forget the name of the books. And what's really interesting, and I don't think you knew this, this could be a surprise, in other words, is that when you, let's say you do have a terminal illness, and you only have like a month to live, did you know that as you count down those 30 days, there's certain things that happen along that way that are common for everybody. Now, isn't that amazing? In other words, at 3 weeks, you might start to get visited by deceased relatives. You might hear voices. And at 2 weeks, same thing, maybe angels, maybe a mother or father might come and give you guidance or calm you, reassure you. And then like a week out, there's certain things that people are staring up at the ceiling and up until the day that they die, there's a sequence of events, that's what I'm trying to say, that are common, not only for one person, but for everybody. Isn't that amazing? I said that before. In other words, we can expect the same things for us when we are on our way out, unless it happens by accident, you know, a car accident, or whatever. And supposedly our dates are all predestined. We have an expiration date. And that is something I haven't quite figured out yet about predestiny, predetermination, how some things are supposedly written in stone as far as our life's journey, different things that happen along the way. In other words, I'm 7 years old, and let's say next week on Wednesday, I go to a restaurant with my wife, and we're at this restaurant, and then some people will come in, maybe a man and a woman, and I'll think I have some deja vu because I've seen them before. And deja vu is actually something that we've seen from the book of life before we were born. What happens later on in our life, we're allowed to preview our lives in advance, And so that's what deja vu is. It's just a remembering of us looking into the book of life and the man and woman that walked in was meant to happen, even though, you know, you could have been living in another town or city. You could have taken that road to the left instead of to the right. So many different things could have happened, but you are exactly where you are meant to be at that time, no matter what decisions you chose, no matter what you did. And it's really fascinating to think about that. However, I believe that things can be changed through prayer. And you've heard, I know you've heard a lot about some people, they say, my wife had a near-death experience, and my ex-wife had a near-death experience, and they both heard a voice that told them that it wasn't their time, that they had to go back. And that makes me wonder about that, because if it wasn't their time, why did they even go there in the first place? Why was it so close? I think we're allowed to bring back a little glimpse of the afterlife to share it with other people, to let people know, because we haven't really known that it's real, that the afterlife exists, that we are going to pop out of our bodies, our spirits, through our chest or the top of our head. Maybe like if you have a terminal illness, you get to experience all those steps, different things, little road markers along the way, milestones until the day of your death. And then maybe a deceased relative comes and pulls you out of your body, or an angel, or you might be taken up to heaven in a chariot, you know, like Archangel Gabriel's chariot. So I think would be the coolest way to go, if you ask me. That's the way I hope to go. And then you get transported either in a conventional mode, or maybe you might be there all of a sudden in that world of light. You might go through the tunnel. The tunnel is simply when you pop out of your body, you're no longer using your five physical senses. So just imagine there are no objects around, like a building or a house. You know, you're a spirit. You can move through walls and windows, ceilings, and rise up above the roof, you know. You're a different kind of entity, and you're not solid. You're a spirit. So you rise up, depending on your level of evolution. You could go down below for those that are the bad people, you know, unfortunately. One reason or another, they were led on that path. Maybe their parents mistreated them when they were young, or their friends or their peers, and they got mixed up with the wrong group, and they killed somebody, maybe more than one person. God knows their hearts. You know, the mother and father, God, know their hearts, but you have to pay the penalty for your mistakes. We all do. That's the law of the universe. So some people go down. Some people might stay on the plane, on the top of the earth, which is what ghosts do. You know, ghosts are human beings like us who died suddenly and violently, and they don't know they're dead. Heck, they don't even know that they were living when they were alive. Do you know that you're alive, my friends? Do you really know that you're alive? And then there are those that rise up into the air. There is a realm above the clouds called what I call the second heaven or the lowest heaven. And there are like crystalline structures, spiritual structures up there for those that need a stopping point on the way to the final, the highest heaven, which is 93 million miles away on that world of light, because our spirits are made of light energy, billions of electrons, and so our spirits can live in fire. If you don't know that, well, now you know. Well, that's why you hear sometimes about people underneath the surface of the earth, in that place down there in the middle where there's a lot of burning rock, lava, people living in lakes of fire and screaming and wailing and gnashing of teeth and the repenting. And they live in those fires too, because the spirit can live in fire, period. Whether it's the fire of the sun, a nuclear fire, a very special fire, not an ordinary kind of fire, as if you lit a match in your hand right now. It's a different kind of fire. But the spirit can live in fire. You have to understand that. Really understand it. And so the spirit pops out of the body. I'm going to take a drink. And it could be an angel that takes you out, or takes you to wherever you need to go. People go through the tunnel, they see that light in the distance. What do you think that light is? Because once you've got rid of your physical senses, all you have are the senses of the spirit, which are very similar, different. Your vision is more enhanced, kind of like a 360-degree view to see everything all around. Hard to describe from what I have read, according to my research. And you can, like, hear smells and smell sounds. It's very complex to understand, but suffice to say, it's different. And so then if you arrive in that one through conventional mode, or all of a sudden you're there, which is the way you travel as a spirit, you can go from A to B instantly, or you can travel kind of like flying, skipping above the ground. Flying would be cool, wouldn't it? I fly in my dreams sometimes. How about you? So you get to that world of light. And it's beautiful. It's spirit matter. Planet Earth is a kind of like a facsimile of heaven. It's almost like a Polaroid picture of the past, where you looked at the negative. The Earth is like the negative, and heaven is like the color picture. Everything is more tense, the colors. There are even colors there that you don't see here on Earth. And everything is alive and vibrant. Even the flowers look like they're alive. The grass is so beautiful and lush and green, that kind of green that it's hard to imagine just how green the grass is there, and fields and the trees of life with the fruit that they bear, which are edible. Believe it or not, you can eat in the spirit. You don't have the normal bodily functions that we do here. And there are roadways everywhere. It's like fields and valleys and mountains, yes, and oceans even. It's different. The same, similar, but different. You can jump in water and go beneath the water, and you might think, oh my God, I'm going to drown. No, you're not going to drown because you're dead. You're already dead. You're in the spirit form. your body's dead, your physical body's dead. And then you go down in the water and you can float like in the middle of the water, and you can see prisms of color like rainbows, and you can hear sounds above the surface. And there's a call in all the time. Well, I've got 1 minute, my friends. I'll talk more about heaven next week. I hope you have an enjoyable week. Here's a prayer. Creator of the universe, you are so awesome. You are amazing. You are omnipotent and omniscient. You created everything. We wouldn't be here if it wasn't for you. And thank you, a thousand thank yous for the miracles of all creation. We love you. We know you love us, and everything's going to be all right. Thank you for everything. Goodbye, everybody. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.